John chapter 10, as we continue on looking at the I am the good shepherd that Jesus proclaims or speaks of. We've been looking at this just incredible story of Jesus healing this blind man, and how this story of Jesus reaching out to this man, finding this man, restoring his physical sight was a foreshadow of Jesus giving him spiritual sight, which was far more valuable to this man. And we saw this chiasm, this beginning with a blind man and men who believed they were spiritually well, to this man who can now see spiritually and those who thought they were seeing blinded. And Jesus taking this opportunity now to proclaim to them the one way to see life in Christ. And so he speaks to them in what the scriptures say here, in a figure of speech, other places called a parable, in a way that they don't really comprehend. And I said to you, I think it's to see or to illustrate their blindness. And they, of course, don't ask any questions, so Jesus then begins to explain the parable for them and for us and for his followers. And I said to you, if you'll remember, that most of the time Jesus is going to speak in parables to the masses and they don't get it, and then he goes aside, and it's always without fail his disciples say, "We don't understand a word you just said." Jesus reveals it to them. In this case, he's revealing it to all of them so they may clearly understand what he's proclaiming. And he's going to evoke a response from them. And he will do one of the things that we don't like to talk about a lot in the church, and I don't like to either, because I'm not or don't like to be a divisive person. But at the end of Jesus' conversation, he will do one of the things he's really good at. He will divide the crowd. Those who will believe his word, and their eyes will be made whole, that is spiritual eyes. Those who will not believe his words, and they will continue in their blindness. It's a sad day when division happens. This is not a good thing. I am a Protestant, because I believe that Martin Luther was right. I believe the church was to be reformed. I believe that she was doing things that she should never have done. But as Protestant as I am, my heart is broken over what happened that day, because it was not Martin Luther's intent to split the church. It was intent to call her back to the Lord, and now she's been split from that event. And now we've been split as a body of Christ in many little different factions. And if we had enough time this morning, we would have looked at Corinthians, when part of what Paul was addressing at the eating of the Lord's table was not to be in factions, that we are in the body of Christ. But there is a good division. And it's not a division over our principles and our ideas and our ideology and our politics. The good division is this: what we do with Christ Jesus. It's not good in the sense that there's a division, because I don't like that, but it's good in the sense that there are some things that are worth dividing over. But I think those things are precious and few. But the person of who Jesus Christ is one of those things that is paramount and essential. Because without it, according to the words we're about to read from Jesus, there is no eternal life or abundant life. And there may be purpose to life, but it won't be as good as the ultimate purpose. See, I think everyone's purpose in life, whether they know this or not, is to glorify God. And how sad it will have been to glorify him and not even know that you did. How much greater is it to be a part of that? To be a part of redemption's story. Many things will be said about me when I return to dust. It's inevitable. But of all the things that are said to me, I hope that someone will say, "That boy was redeemed by Jesus." That would have been of infinite value for everything else I've gone through. And so we look at it again. I'll start with verse 7 because we already read last week, but if you need to go back and read it, you can. But we'll start with 7 because it's really where he starts to describe the parable for us. The first part, he's just really just saying the parable. Now he's describing it for us. So we'll start there today. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you." In other words, listen up. Please listen. This is of vital importance to you. "I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees them because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So Jesus telling them the parable of sheep, and that the sheep have a shepherd, and the shepherd himself not only is collecting the sheep, not only is he gathering sheep for himself, but he's the door to the pen by which the sheep may come in and go out. That is, the only way to get into this shepherd's pen is through the door. Now, he does speak of those who seem to have gotten in, and what he says is they didn't get in, they jumped over, and they don't belong. They're robbers and they're thieves. And he's saying this to the Jewish leaders who are kind of missing the point. And he's saying to them, and you'll remember the context is that the Jewish leaders have just kicked this man out of the assembly of Israel. And basically what he's saying to them is, "My sheep will not listen to your voice because they listen to my voice. And you, my friends, are thieves and liars." There are times when I come to the Word of God and it says something about myself that I do not like. Indeed, I think that's part of the problem that humanity has with this idea of the Scriptures of the Word of God, is that when she looks at it intently, and not just passing her glance, her reply is, "I don't like what he has to say about humanity." He's not a humanist God. Many of us are humanists, that all good is found in human beings and we can solve all problems. God is the opposite of a humanist. He is a him. He says, "Nothing is good in you, nothing at all." And we go, "No, there's got to be some good in me." He goes, "All good is found in me." And we go, "Wow, you mean I must be dependent upon you for my righteousness? I don't like that. I want to course my own path. I want to earn my own way." So he's looking at them in this instance and proclaiming to something to them they don't want to hear, I think, that they are the liars and they are the thieves and he's the shepherd. Notice here, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and he will find pasture." Now, I love this because I think that part of, and I skipped over this a little bit last week, because I think this has a little bit to do with this abundant life. It's not that Jesus just saved us so we can just stay in the pen where it's safe and fun. Oh, there'll be a day that we enter into his kingdom, there's no going in and out. But I think that we are to go out into the pasture. We are to go out We are not to, and in fact, he gives us here, speaking of this other sheep who are not in the pen that he's going to go proclaim. I think that you and I must leave sometimes the safety of the pen, but know this, that he is our pasture. He is our sustenance. He will take care of us as we're in and out, if that makes sense. Church, this is what the church has tried to do for many, many years, and we could call it what the Amish do. We've tried to get ourselves away from the world so as not to be tainted by the world. Well, guess what? We are tainted because of sin. And we will find the same problems the world has out there within us. So no need for us to just have a holy huddle and stay amongst ourselves. Let's get out there and realize that Jesus is our shepherd. And he meets our needs and he's our pasture. There's a great debate amongst Christians. And listen, if you are a homeschooling family, God bless you that you followed God's will for your family's life. Connie and Antonio were not called to be homeschooling parents. Because of that, I get great ire from many of my former friends who have disfriended me because they say, how dare I send my son to the heathenistic school to be indoctrinated? And I say to them, my son will learn the junk at home just as good as he'll learn it at school, because we live in a world that is pervasive with sin, right? And there's no, I can shelter him, but someday that boy will find sin. And indeed, he found it before he even knew he found it. So Connie and I have the challenge and the responsibility to filter what he gets at the school system with the Word of God, and sometimes we'll fail, and sometimes we'll get it right. But my intent is that he will be out in the world, not of the world, but in the world. And that somehow little Noah Andrew Cordovi will be able to be light in the dark places that he inhabits. And sometimes that little booger has done it better than his dad, and I thank God for that. Suffice to say, I think that we need to take that to heart even as adults. I'm not of this world. I'm not. But I am in it. And Jesus said this, that he's the light of the world. And he's calling me to go out to the darkness and proclaim his light, right? And he even speaks of us not to lose our saltiness, right? Well, what good is it if all the salt is collected in one spot? It's not very good. It's a very dense sea that no one wants to swim in. But oh, when the salt is distributed amongst out in the ocean. Everyone wants to be in that ocean. And that's what we are to be, salt in a dark place. Anyways, I know that's a little tangent. But that's part of the abundant life. Part of the abundant life is not having the fear to go out there. You know, many of us are afraid that if we go out there, we may fall and stumble. Guess what? You probably will sometimes. But you have a good shepherd, and he is the keeper of the pen, and he will allow you in the pen. And he's got the power to use those things that you've stumbled in for redemption. I know that's my word for the day, I guess, but redemption. Thank God for redemption. Finding value in something that many wouldn't. So anyways, we see here why he came. He came to gather a sheep or gather a people unto himself and give them life, and not just give them droll, barely living life or survival life, but to give them abundant life. That's why he came, it says here. Second thing we see here is the how he gives life and how he makes the people, the sheep, his own. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So we see what he's doing. He's gathering sheep. He's gathering a people for himself. He's giving them abundant life. How is it that he does it? By laying down his life for his sheep. By knowing his sheep. By calling his sheep. You see the three things that Jesus has done there? He said, I lay down my life. I know my sheep. I call my sheep. My sheep respond to my voice. Thank God for the good shepherd. Now, I love how he goes on this little small tyrant here. How he talks about the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep because they're his. And he goes on to say that the hired hand does not lay down his life for the sheep because they're just that, they're hired. I've said to you before that I'm not against the American dream. I think it's an okay thing, but I also don't think that it's the only thing. There are many pitfalls to the American dream. And by the American dream, I mean this, that you will one day own your own business, right? And you will be your own boss. Can I tell you, as the child of one who owned his own business and he was his own boss, he was not his own boss. The boss was the business. And so I've got some insight into this scripture. Maybe you have it too, that just makes sense to me. I've said this before. I loved my job at Chick-fil-A, and I would still be there, but for two things. God called me to proclaim his word, and I was finding it hard to do there at Chick-fil-A, although now that I'm looking bivocationalism, I guess I could still do it. But number two, fried chicken does not pay well. It's hard to support three mouths on Chick-fil-A income. If I could do that, you would find me at the drive-thru of your local Chick-fil-A, and you would have great service and great entertainment. At my store in Orlando, I would never answer, I would probably get in trouble now, but in my store in Orlando, I would never answer the drive-thru window twice the same. You know, you'd come at the window, and sometimes I'd be like, "Hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A, my name's Antonio, and I am your next American Idol." To which people would be like, "Oh, excuse me?" Sometimes, this is the greatest. We wouldn't know who was pulling up, and sometimes they'd go, "Bienvenido a Chick-fil-A. Mi nombre es Antonio." And they'd go, "Excuse me? Oh, no sabes español. Nah, 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 nah. I don't need you, whatever." I would go back to it. It'd be a great thing, but it just doesn't pay a hill of beans. But one of the reasons I loved Chick-fil-A, because I was just a hired hand. Let me tell you something. I would clock in at 5 a.m., and I would clock out at 1 p.m. I didn't care if there was enough chicken left for the end of the shift. I didn't care that we weren't meeting our sales number for the day. I didn't care that the person behind me ran out of sweet tea. It was 1 o'clock, and I was going home to go see my family because I was a hired hand. My father, on the other hand, had the privilege, I guess, to buy a garbage truck from a man in Wauchula. This is how Hardy County Disposal starts. My father is living in Wauchula, and this man owns a garbage truck. Now, in Hardy County, back in those days, you could burn your own trash. So it was a luxury to get your trash picked up because you just threw it in the pile and you set it aflame. So this man owned a garbage truck, and he would just kind of drum up business. Well, one day my dad met with this man and said, "Can I do that?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I've been looking to get out of it. It just doesn't pay much." And so starts Hardy County Disposal Service. My dad humping it on his garbage truck 6 days a week. He would take Sunday off, much like Truett Cathy, I guess, from Chick-fil-A. And that's what he would do. He would work his garbage truck from sun up, yeah, right, to sundown. And let me just tell you, I kind of watched the thing evolve as I grew and became part of it, and he started, you know, gathering employees. My father would get up before the sun came out, and he'd go out there and he'd do his extensive search of the garbage truck, because these trucks were ancient of days, garbage trucks. And he would check all the fluids and all the, he would even check the windshield wiper fluid, because it was his truck and he cared for it. When my father would get done, and this would drive my mother crazy, and she often said my father had a mistress and the mistress was a garbage truck. When my father, I know, right? The family secrets the Cordovis hold. Ooh, Dagoberto is singing a garbage truck. You can imagine the scandal in Wauchula. When he would get through picking up the trash, this I promise you because I'd watch him do it, he would clean the garbage truck. I would look at him and go, "Why does one clean our garbage truck? Tomorrow, will you not just foul it up again? Son, we must take care of this truck." And he would clean it, and he would be back there scrubbing it. In the back were all the junk every day. Christmas morning, Dad would wake up, because he'd wake up really early, and then he'd go out, and he'd pick up everyone else's Christmas paper wrappings. And he'd come back home and say, "What did I get you this year?" And we'd be like, "Oh, this is cool." I love my father, and I'm not giving him any fault. I'm just saying he was not a hired hand. It was his. It was his responsibility. He cared for it. Jesus has been given a people by the Father, and to have the people, he laid down his very life. We hear a lot about sheep being dumb. And I proclaim to you they are, because if I'm a sheep, I know that they've got to be pretty dumb. But how valuable are the sheep to the shepherd? I want to proclaim to you again, Jesus came that you may have abundant life. Why? Because you're his sheep. And he is a good shepherd. And he laid down his life to make you his sheep. And when you weren't looking for a shepherd, guess what? He was calling your name. And Scripture says if you're a sheep, you heard his voice and you followed. Look at this. People wonder why the gospel is called good news, gospel, good news, and all that. Look at this. Look at what just happened. The shepherd is laying down his life. That is, he's destroying his life. He's battering his life that you may have abundant life. No greater deal. I'm sorry. Walmart's, you got no greater deal than that. Whatever you got in the, I'm starting to understand why the Postal Service is going out of business. Sorry, I know Robert was looking for a job there, but they're going out of business because the only mail that residential people get is junk mail. All right, when's the last time you got mail? And you don't even need to get your bill in the mail anymore because you can pay that on the computer now. And so I know that this is scaring some of us in this room, but pretty soon everything will be done via your smartphone or something. I know it's crazy, but that's where we're heading, and you cannot like it all day long, but your parents didn't like whatever modern invention they had before them, right? And they were dreading stuff like that. So we get all this junk mail, and that's really, I go to the mailbox, and I go to the garage, and most of it just goes in the recycling bin, because I'm green, baby. I'm saving me a tree. I don't know how, because they already cut down the tree, but we're saving it anyways. I really am green, though, but still. The pressures of society to make me green. Although Jesus did say I was supposed to be a good steward of the planet, so that's another sermon. I'm getting some looks. But, you know, all those things are just chock full of great deals, right? The great deals. Mark and Becky just got a great deal from Sprint. They got a $700 phone for free. 2-year contract. $90 a month, but they got a free phone today. I don't know. I don't know all the details. Didn't mean to embarrass you. I want to propose to you, though, no greater deal than this. I will lay down my life to give you abundant life. I will lay down my life that you may have abundant life. And how many of us around here are just squandering around going, I don't have good life, my life stinks, I'm just surviving. I know I'm getting on my tangent from last week, but the good shepherd laid down his life that you may have life to its fullness. And he let you into his pen that you may have pasture and rest there, but that you may live life to its fullest. I've kind of given you my example of letting my little boy into the public school system. And one of the reasons why I believe that many of us shelter our kids from that kind of stuff is because we don't want them to face some of the stuff they're going to have to face there. But I've learned enough in my young life as I get older that to live life is to live life with all the pain that life has to offer. No one says living is living in a bubble. They want to get out of the bubble. And you go, well, if you get out of the bubble, you might catch a germ. And you go, I know, but I saw the way you catch germs, and it looks fun. Let me catch a germ. Listen, to live life is to live it in joy as it is to live it in suffering. And I'm not just going to let my little kid out there to just, you know, touch the fire burners or whatever. But I know this, to let them live, sometimes I got to let them experience some pain. That's the hardest part of being a parent, right? Is knowing when to let them experience pain and when to shelter them from it. I haven't figured that out yet. And I dare say any of us in this room have figured that out yet. But we know this. It's inevitable it's going to happen. So I'm saying to you this, that our Heavenly Father has given us abundant life with the assurance that we are his sheep because he's called us. He's laid down his life for us. Why are we not living? So we've had this notion of what he's done is gathered people into himself. We've seen how he does it. He's laid down his own life. He's called them. And he's provided them an entrance into the pen. Now, I love this. He goes on to say, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, people have tried to use this to kind of let some cults into the back door. Well, hello, we can't just do what we want to with Scripture. We can't just, God's going to let in these people in because he's got another pen for them. No. He's speaking to Israel. Israel had not been sharing anything with the Gentiles. In fact, the Gentiles were vermin, scum that could not have any association with. They were unclean. They were defiled. This is the context in what Jesus says, I have some other sheep. Now notice what he says though, there's no distinction between this sheep and that sheep. They will hear my voice because they're mine, they'll respond, they'll enter in the pen, and they will be one sheep together. Thank God for no hierarchy or you're a better person of God than I am or whatever. Whether or not, this is a little side note for those of us who know anything about this little dialogue, whether or not this gift of tongues has ceased or not is not a discussion that I care to engage in. This is one I will engage in. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't make you more spiritual or greater than anyone else. There is one sheep and one shepherd. There is no you're a better follower than not. You're just a sheep. The shepherd's the good one. It's why I don't mind having discussions about whether my form of baptism is right or wrong. I don't care. We can have that discussion. Because whether I got it right or you got it right, we're still sheep. And he's the good shepherd. And I'm not better because I've rightly discerned something that you haven't rightly discerned. The Spirit of God is truth. And he reveals truth. And he can reveal it to us whenever he so chooses to. So whether that debate gets settled on this side of heaven or not, I don't care. There's a good shepherd, and I'm his sheep, and you're his sheep, and that's not what divides us. Clearly, Jesus is going to say something divides us, but that's not the division. Sheep that belong to Jesus are those who respond to his voice, clear and simple. He's calling. If you respond, welcome to life as a sheep. Know this, little lamb, right? A lamb is a sheep, right? Now this, I didn't go to FFA. We had plenty of it in Wachula, though. Know this, little lamb, you got a good shepherd. Now here's where we get some more controversy, and here is really what divides them. Here is what divides me from some of my friends, and I don't wish it to, but here it is. Ready? Here's what he says. For this reason, the Father loves me. Why does the Father love him? I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to take it up again, this charge I received from my Father. Let me get straightway to the non-controversy of that statement. He has the authority to lay down his life. Not controversial. You and I have the authority to lay down our own lives, right? Any one of us can end our life today by multiple means of ways of doing it. Whether or not it's legal or not doesn't matter. We have authority to take our life, right? I mean, again, it might be illegal, but you could find a way to do it, right? Or, here's one, right? We could sign up, and I hate to even speak about this because we have those enlisted in harm's battle right now, but you can sign up, right? And you have authority to go overseas and give your life for this nation, right? Again, I don't like to talk about that one. We'll scratch that one from the book. But you have the authority to do it. So that's not controversial. You have the authority, as a parent, I can jump in front of the bullet to save my child, right? You have that authority. Not controversial at all. So what Jesus says is true. He has authority to lay down his life. No one takes it from him. He'll echo that later on when he's before this hotshot judge who thinks he can take his life. Jesus says to him, you can't do anything I haven't already set for you to do. No one takes my life, I give it. This is the preamble to that. No problem so far, right? Here is the controversy of this statement. Ready? Because I lay down my life and I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus is not just saying he has the right or authority or power to die. He's saying he has the right, the authority, the power to bring himself back to life. This is his claim. And that is what is dividing the group, because in essence, As he goes on to say, again and again and again, I and the Father am one. Everything I do, I get from the Father. He's claiming a unique relationship to God, indeed claiming to be God, because the only person we know who has the right or authority over resurrecting life is God Almighty. Jesus saying, very controversially, I have my own power and authority, though I may lay in the grave, to come back up again. Scripture tells us that this word, there was division amongst the Jews because of these words, because he said, I have authority, not just to lay down my life, but authority to raise it. Many of them said he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And we've heard before C.S. Lewis say that either Jesus was insane or he had a demon or he was crazy or he was God. Perhaps this is the passage he gets it from. Because that group of people said to themselves, this guy's got to either be crazy or he's got to be influenced by some kind of demonic power, because nobody has the power to raise life from the dead. The others, however, said, he can't be a demon, can he? Can a demon open the eyes of a blind? The division here was over, in my estimation, the divinity of Jesus Christ. The division here is whether the shepherd really has authority, not just to raise his own life, but to give abundant life. And this is what divides us still today. My only encouragement is this, that as one of the sheep, I've been tasked, as have you little sheep, to proclaim the words of Jesus, that others may hear him calling, and that sheep who belong to him will respond to the shepherd. For many years, we thought that we'd be defeated in our sharing of truth because we thought that we weren't sharing truth right or accurately, or we didn't know how to share the gospel. Let me remind you again that the shepherd is calling his sheep and he's using you. And let me remind you again, if the shepherd laid down his life for the sheep and if the shepherd's calling the sheep, that there are sheep and they will listen to their shepherd, just as you did. So I conclude by saying, if there was hope for you, there's hope for all the little sheep you hang out with too. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his people and is calling his people. And that might divide us from later on, Jesus will call them goats. But we don't know goat from a sheep. Let us just proclaim so that the sheep may hear the voice of their shepherd and respond. Thank you for your attentiveness. If you didn't turn this in already, I didn't because I didn't have the offering plate. But if you didn't, will you give it to Lee before you leave today? Thank you so much for that. May the Lord himself reveal to us truth in this place. And may we be encouraged this week. I'm finding that I've shared this with Mark and Ben just this week when we met. God's put me on this planet right now to be a cheerleader. I'm a cute one too. But it's to encourage the people of God, because I think that many of us are losing out and we need to be encouraged. And so may you be encouraged by this word. It's not encouraging to hear there's division, but there's encouragement to hear this. There are sheep and they will respond. Let's just go out and share with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for your provision of salvation, God. Thank you so much that Jesus came to save. Thank you that he keeps the door to his pen. Thank you that the way to enter into this pen is through him, by him. Father God, I thank you so much that Jesus is not an underhand or not a hireling. That is, I thank you that he is the shepherd. And I think right there is another claim to his divinity that he was giving to them that they missed. He was saying that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep because they're his and he's not a hired hand. See, Jesus was not hired by you, God, to do a work for you. No, Jesus was you and he did what you wanted him to because he is a part of you. He was not hired. We are his. Thank you, God, that Jesus finds good pleasure in us. Thank you, God, that we can go in and out of the pen. That when we're there in the pasture, Father, that is safe for us, that Jesus is protecting us from the liars and the thieves. Father, help us to proclaim the Good Shepherd. Help us to be your voice that the sheep may respond to, Father. And thank you, God, that though we may encounter great division, we will also encounter great unity in this, that you are preparing your one flock to be led by your one shepherd, Jesus Christ. So I thank you for this encouragement in my own life as well. Father, thank you so much for this time that we've shared in and amongst one another. I pray, Father God, for many blessings as we pass, Father, from each other's company, that we will be safe this week. God, thank you so much for our students who are returning to school, God. Some, Father, are returning to the public school system. Some, Father, who are being homeschooled. Some, Father, who are going to private schools. We pray that whether they're being instructed in the home or public education or private education, that you will be with them no matter where they are, Father. That your Spirit of truth will protect and guide them no matter where they're found, Father. And thank you, Father, for your care for our children. Father, help our children to be an example in whatever arena they find themselves, God, whether at home, public, or private. Help them, Father, to be a witness to your glory and your majesty, Father. God, thank you so much for entrusting us with their lives, God. Help us to be good stewards of that. God, we love you, and we're also grateful for those of our children who are living on to the next phase of education in college, and as they become adults, Father, we pray the same thing for them, God. And just thank you for the guiding hand that you give us, Father, to be a part of their young lives. Help us now, Father, as they transition from adolescence into adulthood. Father, I want to thank you above all for your faithfulness. Thank you that you'll be faithful to each and every one of our circumstances that we find ourselves in. We love you, Father, and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.